Good afternoon, and it's time for you to ask the mayor. I'm Adam Ragusea, and Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong is joining us by telephone today, fresh off the heels of his State of the City address last night. The phone number to call to speak with Mayor Armstrong, and we hope you will, is 812-855-0811 or toll-free 877-285-9348. You can also send an email to mayor@indiana.edu, or you can instant message us at WFIU Mayor, screen name WFIU Mayor, all one word. Mayor Armstrong, you never seem to get good weather for these states of the cities anymore these days, right?
Absolutely.
You got this terrible snowstorm last year, and then this year?
I guess next year it's the tsunami. I don't know. It's hard telling what we'll have next year. But that's, you know, that's Indiana. You just sort of stay for a day or two, and things will change. So, and we'll see that probably tomorrow with some snow.
Right.
So who knows? That's part of it. We work through those, fortunately or unfortunately. That's part of it.
Well, go ahead and give us the Reader's Digest version of what you went over last night.
Well, basically, we just talked about the same things that we've always done. The good things, you know, that we accomplished in 2007, and the things that we look forward to in 2008, and you know, some of those things are basically we have to really promote education to get a skilled workforce, and we want to get more people involved, and we want to continue to work on our downtown to make it vital to the entire community. And I know not everybody is going to jump up and down for joy for that, but overall, we're doing great things. We have some great economic development projects going on, and we'll see how that lasts with the state legislature doing whatever they're going to do. So,
I definitely want to get back to that, but first, let's talk about the news that's been on everybody's lips for a while in Columbus, which is the Commons announcement, a 500-person office facility in the new Commons, mostly professional positions, engineers and IT folks. To what extent is the city contributing to that process? Who's going to pay for that parking garage?
Well, we have the city. We stated that we would do half or $4 million, and we assume that's going to be an $8 million project. But the city would bond $4 million of that, some of that through the Redevelopment Commission. And the state and the gambling boat, thanks to all the gamblers out there, will fund the balance of that. So it's more or less a 50-50 proposition from the state and the city to combine to come up with the infrastructure to keep the plant or the office building in Columbus, Indiana, and especially downtown. So it's a great thing. And I know, again, as I've said before, I could hand everybody in the city of Columbus a $100 bill, and there would be 100 of them that would say either I want 520s or I want 200. I mean, you're going to have that, and I understand that, and that's okay. But I think, overall, good for the community. This is going to be a blessing. And if you look at what we're going to invest and look at what Cummins is going to invest with these employees, if you look at just $50,000 a year, and I think these jobs are going to average somewhere around $70,000 to $80,000, but if you look at $50,000 a year, average job times 500 jobs, you're looking at the total monies that could be spent in and around Bartholomew County annually of $175 million annually. Now, that's the kind of buying power that will have. And now you're going to say, I know you're going to say this, Adam, how the heck did he come up with that crazy number?
Well, how the heck did you come up with that crazy number?
There we go. Great question.
Thank you.
Well, if you take that figure of 50,000 times 500, you're going to come up with a number. Now, a dollar is turned over. Some economists will say eight times for every dollar. I'm saying seven times for every dollar to be conservative. And that's where I come up with $175 million because, naturally, they've got to spend money on homes, cars, food, clothing, doctors, dentists. And that dollar from them keeps turning around where they pay real estate, lease. I mean, it just keeps going and going and going. So it's like the little bunny in the ad for the batteries. You know, it just keeps churning. And that's what it does for a community. And those are excellent jobs. And we're just fortunate that Cummins is a pretty good partner with the city, and that they did commit to staying, they're actually beginning this company downtown as far as a new office complex. And looks as like as though it's 100,000 square feet, about four stories high, so it's about 25,000 square feet per floor. It's going to be great for downtown.
It's a huge project, yeah. Looking over the language in the press releases that Cummins had put out around that time talking about the project, they talked about how it reflected a fundamental shift in their approach where they really wanted to locate the intellectual center of the company in Cummins. And maybe I was reading between the lines too much, but do you fear that that could be a prelude towards relocating the manufacturing base out of the city?
No, not at all. I mean, they had options. Cummins had options on where they could put this facility. And you'd have to talk to them about all the options.
Sure, but, sure.
The bottom line is they've got their world headquarters downtown. And now we have 500 new opportunities for downtown to mix and mingle with the world headquarters. I mean, it just gives them a better presence downtown with their world headquarters building. I think there's about 900 people or so in that building, and then you have 500 here, and then about three and a half blocks down the street, you're going to have 600 more. So I think what it states to this community that, hey, we're here to stay, and we're going to do everything we can to continue to do business in Columbus. Now, with that caveat, I will say this. I do not look for Cummins to do a lot more in Columbus for a long time. And the reason for this is, as you all know, and we know, that at some point there's a downturn. Something's going to happen in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, or whatever. So what Cummins' philosophy is, and I think it's a good philosophy, is don't put all of our eggs in one basket. If we had a downturn and we had everything in one community, look how that affects that community. So if we spread it around a little bit and there's a downturn, it doesn't hurt a community that bad. So I think it's a great philosophy. I'm willing to work with not only Cummins but any other company that wants to bring jobs like this and this number of jobs. We're willing to listen. So, again, all this is also depends on what happens at the state legislature
sure,
this year.
Sure.
So, I keep throwing that in, but it's true. So what happens is when you work on economic development as much as we do, good things will happen. But then again, you have to be ready for the setback. So there's more things going to be announced here very, very soon. So
yeah, I read that. That in your speech. Any hints you might want to give
us? Yeah, something's going to happen very, very soon. That's the hint.
That's quite a hint.
You'll get. Well, I mean, it's we want to make sure that everything happens and it looks as though it's going to happen just fine. But you have to respect the people that
sure.
you're dealing with, and I promise them certain things.
Well, maybe we'll have a caller call up and ask if it's bigger than a bread box. But,
there you go. It probably is bigger than a bread box. I'll go that far.
All right. Speaking of which, we're speaking to Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. Feel free to join the conversation. Call us toll-free at 877-285-9348. You can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu or instant message us at WFIU. Mayor. So let's talk about some legislative stuff. On your third House session at the end of last month, Mayor Armstrong, I think you had said something along the lines of you had run the numbers on the governor's proposed 123 property tax cap structure and came up with an estimation of $2.78 million in lost revenue locally that would result from that
sure.
plan. How'd you come
sure.
up with that?
Here's how I came up with it, and it's quite simple. Golly, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. We are going to lose, with the package beginning in 2009, approximately $850,000. It's just to round it off. So you take your 2008 budget, which you're going to end with, and you plop another $850,000 off of that. And then that's your budget for 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me see. There's some certain things that happen, like do employees maybe get a pay raise? How about gasoline and fuel costs? How about the police and fire pensions that we have to pay into, and traffic lights and street lights and ambulance fees that are still going up just a little bit. All these things that we don't have a lot of control over, we've got to pay. I cannot cut enough paper or enough cleaning solvents or enough fuel to come up with 2.7 million dollars. That's what we're talking about, because that's what it would be for the 2009 budget. And that's without any raises at all. That's just coming up with what we're doing right now. So that's how I came up with the numbers. It's pretty simple. You take away something, and there's nothing to add to. And here's what's the kicker. Now, our local newspaper did an article that we would lose 40 police officers. Well, that's not quite true. It would come up to 40 police officers if you take the $2.782 million and divide that by $61,000-some-odd, which is what it costs for a policeman or fireman, including their FICA and insurance benefits and all that, that comes up to approximately $2.7 million. So if you cut only policemen or only firemen, that's what you would lose.
Now, sure, but you could spread that across departments.
Sure, we're going to spread it across the board. But let me tell you, that's when we lose people. If we lose $2.782 million, that's people, that's service. We do not make any widgets and widgets and gadgets and all that to produce to make a profit. We are a service-oriented group. That's all we do. And now it's going to cost service. And I'm just going to have in the near future, I'm going to gather as soon as all this the legislature closes, and if it passes exactly the way it is, which I don't think it will, by the way, but if it does, then I'm just going to put out in our local news media, here's the budgets of these people. You tell me how many policemen you want cut, how many parks you want shut down. You tell me what streets will not be repaired, and you tell me how many times we want to pick up sanitation, once a week or once a month.
What about opening up other revenue streams, working with the county to raise a county option income tax?
I'd love to do that. In fact, that should have been done. If you remember, the inventory tax for us went away right away.
Yeah.
And the county, when they did that, I thought, that's fine. I'm not saying that's a wrong thing to do, but what are you going to replace that with? Well, the answer that I received was, well, we'll worry about it when the time comes. Well, let me tell you, the time has come and it's gone. Residential property owners had to make up for that inventory tax loss, but it could have been taken care of if the county would have passed the local option income tax. But they didn't, and now we're faced with this, and I'm just as mad as property taxpayers are. I mean, we could have done this a different way, and we still can. It's not the end of the day yet, but it's getting close. So I know the legislators have a job to do, but it's not government spending locally that's tearing them up. You know, I'm going to give you a couple examples, and I'll probably get dinged on this, but that's okay. When you're angry, maybe you say things that you shouldn't.
Right.
But, for example, our governor, and I happen to like our governor, but he's proposing to change the presidential election earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is fine, great, but who pays for that?
Sure.
You know, in Bartholomew County, that's $100,000 we have to pay for an election.
I believe he's proposed a tax on political advertising.
A what?
A tax on political advertising.
A tax, huh? I can't believe that. And then the state legislature is looking at the immigration issues, which is okay, too. But, you know, at the bottom of that, one of those lines, it says, and we'll have local law enforcement doing the federal jobs and not giving them any money to do that with, as we're laying them off with some of the stuff that we're passing to our legislature. I know I'm being a little blunt here and maybe a little far-fetched, but not really. I mean, this is what's happening in communities, and I feel that most communities, not all, most communities have been pretty responsible. In fact, I've been in this seat going on 13 years now. Our tax rate in those 13 years has gone down 5.5 cents during those 13 years. Not up, but it's gone down. We only spend what the cost of living is. We don't go over it. We've been very responsible, and we've been doing a lot of things without the COA tax and LOAT and wheel tax and edit tax. But now our hand's being forced, and I can't do anything. My local representatives are saying, well, we give you home rule. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. You give the county home rule.
Right.
Give me that responsibility of raising a tax. I'll take the blame or I'll take the credit, whichever. So I get on my high horse on this because I am very angry. And I know these men and women at the state are trying to do their job, but what they're trying to do, pardon me, is save their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They saw 66 new mayors elected in Indiana, and some of them probably because of the property taxes that they had zero to do with. They had nothing to do with that. That was through the state. And now they're going to save their heinies. And this is what they're going to do. Now, are there other ways to do it? Yes, give us some options, and that's all I ask. I don't mind them doing a circuit breaker. That's okay. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but give us some other options. And they're not doing it. They're saying they are, but they really aren't. They're giving counties option. And in Bartholomew County, and I can't speak for the other counties, the cities do a lot for county taxes. The things that we do, you know, we do pretty well, and it helps them too. Because I tell you, probably a third of our citizens don't realize it. Duh, if you live in the city, you pay city and county
sure.
taxes. So,
well, it's got to be 60% of the citizenry of Bart County is in Columbus city limits or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's close. It's 50-50, 52, 48. I mean, it's really pretty close. Honestly, it is. So, and we've got good county people. I mean, they are good people. But, you know, when it comes to doing something, you know, it seems as though they'll spend a nickel to save a dollar to save a nickel. And sometimes it comes back and bites you on the you know what. But
mm-hmm.
bottom line is they are good people. But geez, old Pete's folks, this is about people that we're going to be losing that provide a service to the community. And in doing that, if this word gets out, can you imagine other companies say, I don't know if I want to start my company in Indiana if they're laying policemen and firemen off,
mm-hmm.
huh? Maybe I'll go to Kentucky, Ohio, or Illinois, or whatever. So I know it's between a rock and a hard place, but I know there's a way that we can compromise to see that this comes to.
Well, let's hammer
whatever.
That out a little bit. I mean, I have to imagine that the corporate citizens in your community were pretty happy to see the inventory tax go.
Absolutely.
And it's probably been good to your city in that regard. And nonetheless, that's been one of the factors that resulted in the confluence of impacts on the property tax system that occurred this year. So you're saying that you just need, as a city executive, you need another form of revenue-generating ability. What would that be?
Well, for example, give us the power to fix our streets with a wheel tax.
Hmm.
Give us the power to do an edit tax so we can do some of these infrastructure projects downtown or wherever without being involved with the general obligation bond through our property taxes. We have people driving into Columbus daily, and I'm glad they are, by the way, that what kind of tax do they pay? You know, they go home and use our streets, use our facilities, and go home to whatever county they live in. Well, you know, if there's an edit tax, they're going to help pay for some of these things that they use here that will be used for futures, maybe for their kids and all that. So, again, that's all we're asking is give us a couple other options, and a couple of them are wheel tax, edit tax, and I'm not so sure about, you know, a couple of years ago when the cities and towns came up with the Hometown Matters, I thought it was a great plan.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't agree with 100% of it, but with most of it I did, and one of them was sales tax. I didn't particularly agree with locals coming up with a sales tax. I think that's the state's responsibility to deal with that. There are other ways we can do that. You know, as I said, the two that I just mentioned, you know, maybe, and I'm not so sure this is a good one, the donut counties have the food and beverage tax.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that can be included also. But again, before we spend just to be spending, we want to be responsible. And the only money that we have spent is whatever the growth has been, and we haven't gone over that. So the city council that I work with have been very, very responsible. And we don't want to tax people just to be taxing people. But we also know that we still feel that quality of life issues are economic development issues. And when you can provide good parks and you can provide good quality of life projects like people trails, and we have a good project with our telecommunications policies that we're going through now to wire completely the city of Columbus, Indiana. I mean, those are the things that people want to move into a community that have those things. Because today, as you well know, people can do their work about any place. They don't really have to come to Columbus or Bloomington or wherever. They can pick and choose where they want to live. And I think that that's just one of my big things, that the things that we are so accustomed to here in Columbus, and it's not that we're any better than any community, because we're not. It's the things that we thought were more important to our citizens, and those are the quality of life issues, and we want to continue those. But the direction it's going right now, we're not going to be able to. And if that's the way it is, so be it. But well, when people knock on my door and say, "Mayor, you haven't fixed our street," call your state representatives. They'll fix it for you, because they know how to operate cities much better than mayors do. So let them do that. So I guess I'm being a little open here, aren't I? And well, don't get me wrong, we have some really good representatives, but it's just asinine. It's silly that they've done this. They keep putting Band-Aids on it, and they make these decisions that affect cities, and then they blame cities that we're overspending. They want to put caps on us, but not on them. I mean, all of these things that it's all about us and not about you, then that has to go away. So,
well, if any legislators would like to join the conversation who are listening, they could give us a call at 877-285-9348, or anyone else for that matter. We're speaking with Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong today on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. We've got another 6 minutes of the mayor's time today. Mayor, let's go back and talk. You mentioned, you brought up IT, and one of the points that you were sure to hit in your State of the City last night was talking about the laying of, I think, 7 miles of fiber optic cable in the core of the city. Mm-hmm. Do you see public broadband in the future for Columbus?
Oh, sure. I mean, let me tell you, we want to be a wired community. Mm-hmm. We want to also be a wireless community. We want all of that, because that brings in economic development. That brings people in that can live here and do their jobs even out of their homes if necessary. So, yes, I mean, and we've got a committee. I wish that I were smart enough to be on this committee, but I'm not that smart. I've got all the best technological people in the community from the private sector and public sector that have come together and have just really done a bang-up job as to what we need to look for the future and what we need to be. And they have hit the ground running. And like I say, we've never – you just can't see conduit underground. It's infrastructure. But if you can't see it, it must not be any good. Well, this is going to be excellent for the community. As you, I think you well know, Smithville are partners with us, and they're going to do a great job of building our underground infrastructure for technology the way it should have been done maybe 10 years ago when the mayor here, which was me, sat on his duff and didn't get things going in the right direction at the right time.
But, that guy.
The guy's a troublemaker. But it's one of those things. We should have been more advanced than what we are, but we're always looking at, dollars and cents, and we don't want to overspend. So those are just the responsible things, and we have a committee that I'm just thrilled with them, and they just do a bang-up job, and they don't charge us a penny.
All right.
You know, they're volunteers.
Absolutely. So, let's go ahead and go to the phones. We've got Ann on the line. Ann, you're on the air with Mayor Armstrong.
Hello. I am a resident of Brown County, not of Columbus, but we're on the eastern side of Brown County, so we do a lot of business in Columbus, and we subscribe to the Republic. And again this morning, there was a little blurb about the sewage overflow with the rain, and I wondered, with all the development that is going on downtown, which will, of course, cause more runoff if this issue is being addressed.
Oh, and this I must have been set up for this one. Somebody really has done a bang-up job on this one. And let me answer it this way. Just a moment ago, I talked about infrastructure underground that you cannot see. 2 years ago, we passed a bond issue from our utilities for $45 million. And what this is about our combined sewer overflows. That this is why we have to do what we're doing. We are fixing that. We are one of the first in the state of Indiana to get this approved. By the way, Indianapolis was first, although we had ours done first, but Indianapolis is our state's capital, so they went first, and we were shortly behind them. But this past summer, we have built underground systems that will take care of all of this. In fact, it'll be finished up next spring towards Mill Race Park, which is around White River. We'll take care of that. That's why the $45 million is being spent. And it's good for our environment. It needed to be done 50 years ago, but until the state, and this one I've got to give them a little credit on, although they didn't give us any money, they said it's a mandate that 106 of you cities will fix what you've done, and we are doing it, and I'm pleased that we are, and I'm just thrilled that you called in to ask that question.
Well, and I'm thrilled that it's going to be addressed. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for the call, Ann. Mayor Armstrong, just in our remaining couple of minutes here, I want to mention that we had City Councilman Dutro and Ed Curtin from the Redevelopment Commission on the program a couple of weeks ago, and talking about all the changes that Columbus citizens are going to see in their downtown in the coming months and years. And it was interesting. We got a lot of phone calls from folks who were a little bit concerned. They were a little bit concerned about how the character was really going to change with increased development. When you're talking about adding, I don't know what you've got on the horizon, but when you talk about adding 500 professional positions to the downtown core, that's going to come along with it, I have to imagine, with some new restaurants, some new retail. And some folks were concerned about the really lovely residential neighborhoods that are right on the border of the downtown and whether or not they are going to be encroached upon.
Well, right now, if you got a residential piece of property, what's the chances of getting that rezoned to business?
Sure, yeah.
that's not going to happen. No, we're going to run out of land before we can do that. Bottom line is we know there are certain areas that we can build on in the downtown area, and that's all we're going to be able to do. Now, I'll have to admit that the post office is one of those things I'd love to see out of downtown, at least for the truck part of it.
Sure, yeah.
We'd like to have the business part downtown, but and they want to be out of downtown. So there's an area that we'll make into residential in all probability. And get a business out that probably needs to be out and wants to be out. So that part would change. But on the other surrounding areas, just on the edges, I look at 500 people moving downtown, plus whatever we're going to be doing here in the near future, plus all these other businesses. That means more employees and more people to live. I would see that these little places around are going to benefit extremely well because people want to be buying these homes, fixing them up, having their nice little cottages in and around a downtown that it's not going to be explosive, but it's going to be much better than what it is today.
Well, we look forward to seeing everything you've got on tap in the coming months, Mayor Armstrong. But thank you so much for your time and for joining us as always.
Uh-huh.
This has been Ask the Mayor with Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong. I'm Adam Ragusea. Join us again next week. Terre Haute's new mayor, Duke Bennett, will be making his premier appearance on the program. So for producer Colin Bishop and engineer Mike Paskash, I'm Adam Ragusea. Thanks for listening.